Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time. Week 3 in college football. Although, as we do now this year, we will give you a little update in terms of a couple games we watched in week 2. Some of the matchups we had an eye on, we'll give you the pluses and minuses from how some guys played because you asked for that. Starting to get a little momentum here on this podcast. We've always had a terrific core audience, but it feels like more and more people might be jumping aboard, as you should, because there is not a better place during the season to find out who the best players are in the biggest games in college football and who we should be studying and watching while we're watching college football games because they have a great chance to be future pros. He's the star of the show. He's Fran Duffy. If you follow his Twitter, at FDuffy3, you will learn a ton just off of Eagles game tape. He also posts his Saturday column, which is even more in-depth if you want to know even more in the college football sphere. I'm merely Russ Tucker, played for a while in the NFL, love college football, love getting a chance to evaluate players as much as I can when I get a chance. And I've got some observations from at least one game that I'm working through watching the tape on. Fran is always available at PhiladelphiaEagles.com as well. And you should be noted that you guys can enter to win the free Madden copies as well. I got one that's Xbox and I got one that is PlayStation. Just send me a sponsor confirmation from over at RossTucker.com. All right, Fran, let's start with what we're doing this year. Before we get into the big games, and there's several of them here in week 3, give me a couple guys that stood out to you positively last week in week 2.
Well, obviously, you got to start with the guy that has put up just, I mean, ridiculous video game number. You're just talking about Madden, and I asked, you know, I put in my sponsorship emails, and I haven't gotten my Madden yet, so I'm a little disappointed. But the guy that's putting up Madden numbers is Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville. I mean, anytime you throw for 400 and you rush for almost 200, you know, you're going to make some headlines. Now, I've got to study him. Yeah, and I'm always going to say this with the quarterbacks. If I haven't really gotten a chance to study him, I'm not going to make any kind of oversweeping judgment on him. But you just got to enjoy the ride with him, obviously. I mean, the numbers that he's putting up, it'll be a really interesting test to watch him against Florida State. But watching him last Friday night, he was one of the only games on, and what he did to the Orange, I mean, it was just unbelievable. 62 points for the Cardinals that night, and he was a big reason why. And then another guy who was putting up ridiculous numbers, and Ross, when you do the Fantasy Feast podcast with Evan Silva, and you guys talk about running backs that, you know, they only might carry the ball, or they score once every two or three touches, you know, you're typically talking about like a goal line back. What about a guy that has 13 carries and scores seven touchdowns in a game? 13 carries, seven touchdowns, 137 yards. That's Kalen Ballage from Arizona State, what he did against Texas Tech, who for years now has just struggled to stop the run. And everybody they play, the running back always seems to put up ridiculous numbers. And Kalen Ballage from Arizona State was the benefactor this past weekend. And then one last guy that I want to talk about, not necessarily overall because of his performance this past week. He had four tackles against Iowa State, and they had a big receiver, Iowa State, that I was really interested to watch. Desmond King, the corner from Iowa, we've talked about him a little bit on this podcast, Ross. He's so impressive, man. I mean, he's undersized. You know, he's just about 5'10", but in terms of his instincts, it's off the charts. He does a really good job in zone. He does a good job in man. He's quick. He's really tough, really competitive kid, can play in press, can play in off coverage. The only thing that you can really question about Desmond King is he plays a little bit loose sometimes in off coverage, and I think he's trying to bait throws to from quarterbacks, you know, and so sometimes he can get beat. He'll give up some catches because he's trying to bait those throws, but, man, He is a really impressive player. Great ball skills as well. Desmond King, another guy that I watched in that Iowa State game this past week, just because I really wanted to watch him against Iowa State. Desmond King has always stood out to me on tape as well.
Yeah, a couple thoughts on those guys. Number one, if memory serves, I did the Arizona State A&M game last year. Ballage is a big dude too, right?
Yeah, and he looked bigger against obviously that Texas Tech front. But, you know, he's a guy that comes in at 6'3", 230. That's what he's listed at. We'll see what ultimately he is. He's only a junior, so he could go back for another year. But definitely a bigger kid in terms of the running back position.
And then that's number one. And then number two, in terms of Lamar Jackson, I know you need to study the tape, but I can tell you right now the physical traits are there. I mean, his arm is really impressive. And as an athlete running the football, I mean, he's hurdling guys. He's making guys miss. He's fast. I mean, he looks like almost a better version of Deshaun Watson last year. Although, like I said, that was against Syracuse defense. We'll see how he does against Florida State's defense. That's what they call a tease there. I was really impressed, as usual, with Saquon Barkley from Penn State. 5 touchdowns against Pitt. And those two offensive linemen, including Dorian Johnson, the one you love, they totally road graded Penn State, over 300 yards rushing. I think James Conner is going to be an interesting one as an NFL player. What do you see when you watch him?
Conner, and I've said this in the past, and this just helps to paint a picture for listeners. The guy that he reminds of stylistically is Peyton Hillis. Big kid, you know, 6'2", 240. And when a guy's that size, and he's actually lost weight since when I watched him, he was listed at 250 going into last year. So whenever I'm watching a back that's that big, you know, I've got preconceived notions. You know, I'm not expecting too much. I was impressed with him because a guy that's got really good vision inside, has a good feel for all the different schemes that they do back there because they run both zone and gap schemes. I thought that he was a good fit in both concepts. Big kid, obviously, is able to create yards for himself because of his contact balance. He will be interesting, Ross. Now, there's a ton of great backs in this class. So in terms of draft placement, that's really tough to say right now. But I think he's going to stick in the league, especially because I think that he's improved on third down this year. I don't know that he's ever going to be this great receiver, but from the little that I've seen so far, I've seen a little bit better in pass protection, which was one area of concern for me coming into the year. Conner, though, he's impressive, man. I'll be interested to see ultimately where he ranks overall in this running back class, because when you talk about guys like Fournette, and McCaffrey, and Chubb, and Dalvin Cook, and the two Tennessee kids, and Devion Smith, and Justin Davis, it's a great running back group overall. So just really interested to see how Conner stacks up when we get to the spring.
So is there anybody that you know, we've talked about or that we watch that struggled or maybe didn't have their best performance last weekend?
Overall, I've really, you know, I know that they came back and they won the game, and I'm just early on, maybe I'm just hanging on to obviously the week before against App State, and I'm hanging on to that first couple quarters, the first quarter and a half from Tennessee. But I was hoping to see Josh Dobbs take the next step this year. He's got the physical tools. We talked about it last week. He's got all the tools you want. He's got the arm. He's got the light feet. But he has not been consistently, accurate with the football. His decision making has just been okay. And then the other guy, another player who I was expecting to take the next step this year, and he got benched this past week. And that's Brandon Harris from LSU, who has got all the tools. Comes from an offense where they put him under center, so you know he's got a leg up on some of these guys that are coming from different systems. But his erratic play was just too much for him to overcome, you know, and that's the issue. If you took Brandon Harris's top 15, top 20 throws from a year ago, you would say this guy looks like he could be a top 10 pick. But just the erratic play is just, like I said, been too much for him to overcome.
Let's get into it. Let's go head to head, Bright.
Head to head.
So there's 3 games I am really looking forward to, and you have highlighted all of them. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Louisville against Florida State. You know, we should talk about that, Fran. if you're from Louisville, you say it like that. Everywhere else, like in the Northeast, we say Louisville. But I've been around people that are from there, and I've been there, and they say it's pronounced Louisville. So I feel like I should say Louisville. But then I also feel like a little bit of a, well, the word is probably not a good one to say on a podcast, but I feel a little bit of a that when I say Louisville.
Well, and the other one that I always think of too is New Orleans. Like, it's like you say you grew up, you say New Orleans, you're from the Northeast, and then you grow up and you realize, no, it's New Orleans. And I actually honeymooned with a couple from Louisville. And so since then, now I agree. I used to call it Louisville, and I don't do it anymore. But
well, that's how they know whether or not you're from there.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
If you say Louisville or if you say New Orleans. So anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. Ohio State-Oklahoma is the Saturday night game. Thrilled that these teams are playing against each other. Saturday night, 8 p.m., ABC. Give me two or three matchups in this one, Fran, that you're going to especially have your eye on.
Well, I'll tell you what. Ohio State, you know, the offense has not come out as strong as many would have hoped. Look, they lost a lot last year, obviously. You know, from the receiver position, they lose Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Cardale Jones isn't there, where they expected JT Barrett to really kind of take the reins of that offense, a young offense across the board, and really take them, at least sustain the success that they've had. And they've been a little bit slow out of the gate, especially up front in the offensive line. But Barrett, you know, has been up and down. And so we'll see a guy who has showed flashes throughout his career. Obviously, he's got the athleticism, but he has shown me some, you know, quick release. He's shown the ability to be accurate. And this is going to be his toughest test to date against the Sooner defense that also has lost a lot of talent. And they've been a little bit up and down. So really, it's going to be a battle of two struggling units here when you talk about this Ohio State offense against the Oklahoma defense. I talked about all the talent that they lost up front. The one anchor that they do have is there at the pivot, at center, Pat Elflein, shifting inside from guard. We both really like Elflein. He plays with leverage. He's a little bit undersized. He's smart. He's tough. He's able to anchor, even though he's a little bit undersized in pass protection. I do like Pat Elflein, and he's going to go up against probably the best player on that Oklahoma defense and defensive tackle, Charles Walker. So those are the two matchups that I'll be watching when Ohio State has the football. On the other side of the coin, I think the other matchup you got to watch is these Oklahoma running backs, who Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon. That's that thunder-lightning combination for the Sooners. Perine is a big kid who we've talked about in the past. I really like what he brings to the table at 5'10", 234 pounds. And then you've got Joe Mixon, who's the lightning. And he made that great one-handed catch down the seam in a pass play against Houston in week one. He can be moved all around the formation, a little bit more dynamic. But then he's going up against this Ohio State linebacking core. And a player that, I'll be honest, I was a little underwhelmed when I watched Raekwon McMillan last year. A lot of people think that he's going to be a top 10, top 15 pick. Some people I've talked to have said that he's looked pretty good so far through two games. So excited to see this matchup from that standpoint, because you've got two really talented running backs going against a linebacker that's really highly billed. I wasn't too high on coming into the year. We'll see if that holds true this Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm with you, Fran, on that game. It's going to be fascinating. There's one other guy that is firmly on my radar screen now, and maybe it's because I follow some Western Pennsylvania Twitter accounts. I believe he's a redshirt sophomore. Might even be a redshirt freshman. But Malik Hooker is a safety for Ohio State, who has already in 2 weeks made a handful of absolutely ridiculous plays. He's a guy, Fran, from Newcastle, which is on the Pennsylvania-Ohio border, that was a Division I basketball player and did not play football until his junior year of high school. In his junior year of high school, he was awesome right away, a little raw, but awesome right away, to the point where Ohio State offered him a scholarship. Now he's starting at safety. He's got at least a couple interceptions, and he's made a bunch of ridiculous plays. He looks like the next really big thing at Ohio State, and he probably wasn't even on your or anybody's radar screen coming into the season because he didn't play because they had good kids ahead of him. But he is a special, special player just based on the plays he's made so far. So everybody, including you, Fran, if you haven't really checked him out yet, make sure you're looking at Malik Hooker, the safety for Ohio State, because it's been really fun watching him so far. You know what's not fun? The volatility of the stock market. It's like a roller coaster. You know, look, I mean, we all want to invest our money, but it's up and down, we get it. That's why I'm getting involved with richuncles.com. It's a REIT, a real estate investment trust that pulls investors' money together, letting us all in on bigger deals. Basically, this is a really cool opportunity because it's commercial real estate only to creditworthy tenants like Walgreens and Chase Bank, and it returns pretty much 6.5% on average. The investment has risks. It's not guaranteed, so go to their website and check out Rich Uncles REIT, registered A Tier 2 offering, and go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com, or call 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
The next one, Fran, is Alabama against Ole Miss. It feels like we talk about these teams a lot because 2 weeks ago, they were both in marquee games that we were talking about. Now, in your notes here, Fran, that you send me, you have here, is this a Saturday noon ESPNU game?
You know what? It might not be. That might be a, obviously, look, the Eagles just started Carson Wentz this week, and you saw his performance. My head's in the freaking clouds right now.
Okay. I was going to say, there's no way. So that was like from last week or something. Forget. There's no way Alabama Ole Miss is an ESPNU game. I was like, there's just no way. No. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it's 3:30 on CBS. I'm sure it's the SEC game of the week, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is. It's CBS 3:30.
Okay. I was going to say, wow, ESPN is really trying to throw some muscle behind ESPN, behind ESPNU. Anyway, let's get into this one. There's a bunch of studs in this game. Are there a couple matchups here in particular that you're really going to be focused on?
Yeah, you know, the one player that's been really productive so far has been Ole Miss tight end Evan Engram and Eddie Jackson, who I watched on the safety from Alabama. I watched him last week. I really watched that game against Western Kentucky. I told you last week I really liked the Western Kentucky receiver, Taywan Taylor. So I wanted to watch that Western Kentucky-Alabama game. And Eddie Jackson made another pick six. And that he's just so smooth athletic. You see that cover, those cover corner skills. And he's going up against a tight end that's got wide receiver skills. So that one-on-one matchup is not going to be every single play play in, play out. But when they do go up against each other, Evan Engram, Eddie Jackson is a fun matchup to watch. Alabama, they've got that left tackle, Cam Robinson, everyone's excited about. This is a very interesting group of edge rushers from Ole Miss. You got Fadol Brown, who's more of a run stuffer, really good at the point of attack. You've got Marquise Haynes, who really versatile kid, high upside in terms of his ability to come off the ball and win with speed. He showed that speed to power against Florida State a couple weeks ago in week one. Victor Evans is an underclassman as well. Same kind of build as Haynes. So I think Robinson's going to have his share of players coming at him from both sides because they play Ole Miss. They play field and boundary. So those defensive ends are going to be switching sides. It's not going to be Robinson versus Brown play in and play out. Haynes will be moved around. Evans will be moved around. So it'll be interesting to see how Robinson responds to all the different skill sets coming at him throughout the game. And then obviously on the other side of the football, everyone's going to watch Chad Kelly, and he's been exactly kind of how I thought he was. You know, he's up and down and more down than up, honestly, in terms of pro prospect plays, because a lot of his plays, you want to be able to see that poise in the pocket. You want to see the quality decision-making, not something that you see on a consistent basis with Chad Kelly. And he's going to get a big test against this Alabama defense that everybody is applauding the depth again, is saying that it could beat that 2011, that 2012 Alabama defense in terms of all the draft picks on it. Ton of talent from the senior class on down. in this Alabama defense. From up front, you got Tim Williams and the nose tackle, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Ryan Anderson off the edge. And obviously, Jonathan Allen is probably the best of them all. You've got Reuben Foster and Sean Dion Hamilton at linebacker, Eddie Jackson, ton of talent on this Alabama defense. So it's a huge test for Chad Kelly, DeMaurier Stringfellow, Evan Engram, this whole Ole Miss offense.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things that jump out to me just listening to you, friend. Number one, what I really respect about you is it seems like some of these guys that are really heavily recruited and play early, like Cam Robinson and Raekwon McMillan at Ohio State, they get all this buzz and hype around them, but you actually watch the games and you watch the tape and you say, you know, I mean, Cam Robinson physically is there, but he gets beat a lot. And Raekwon McMillan, I'm not sure about. And the same with Chad Kelly, because there's so much hype about Chad Kelly. That's why this is the best podcast of its kind out there. And the other thing I think is cool about this one, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Fran, but we're going to have a really good tight end class, which, by the way, makes the decision of all these guys like Engram and O.J. Howard and Jake Butt to return to school really curious to me. Like, if any one of them came out, they might have been a first-round pick last year. They might have been the best tight end to come out. But at any rate, what I like doing is watching Alabama-Ole Miss and watching both tight ends in the same game at the same time. So I feel like I have an idea of, okay, you know, watch them block, watch them miss, and get a better idea of which one I like more. I know they're not going head-to-head, but it's still a fun matchup you can watch in a game like this.
Yeah, and that's all. You do it with quarterbacks. You do it with every position where it's, you know, you see the two players really side by side, and it really helps. And you know what it always happens in the bowl games is when that typically happens, right? You know, you get Florida State versus LSU, and it's like, all right, I'm going to watch Dalvin Cook, and then I'm going to watch Leonard Fournette. But no, it's great when it happens in the regular season. Like you mentioned, with the tight ends, it's a great example with Evan Engram and O.J. Howard, two players that are vying to be that tight end one spot in this draft. So, yeah, I 100% agree.
Let's move on to Louisville against Florida State. We already talked about Lamar Jackson. This will be a step up in class as opposed to Syracuse defense. I am really curious. I mean, he has a legitimate chance to win the Heisman Trophy based on how he started if he has a big game Saturday. That, to me, is what's at stake for him. Because I think he a true sophomore, Fran?
I believe he's a redshirt sophomore. I have to go back and look. Since I haven't studied him, I haven't done all the bio stuff on him yet, but I believe that he's a redshirt sophomore.
Did he start last year? Was he on your radar screen coming in the year?
I knew of him and because he played late in the year and he was getting a lot of buzz, but I just didn't study him because I knew that he wasn't one of the big guys that were going to be draft eligible for this year. But, you know, at some point in the coming weeks, I'm going to have to study him just because of how well he's playing.
Yeah, he's changing that right now.
Yeah.
Who's on the Florida State defense in particular? It looks like, in terms of news here on the College Draft Podcast, that Derwin James, the outstanding safety, is going to miss some time.
Yeah, without James, I mean, look, this Florida State defense still has some talent. You know, DeMarcus Walker is a defensive lineman that impressed me a little bit when I watched him this past season in 2015 as a junior. You know, he can line up in a couple different spots. I could see him playing as a DN or as a three technique at the next level because he's got that kind of versatile skill set, really good getting off blocks, high motor kid. Really want to see him take the next step in terms of his pass rush skill was my question coming into the year. And from the flashes I've seen, I think he's done that a little bit. I've seen some speed to power. I've seen him counter a little bit in the little that I've watched of Florida State. So that's definitely an intriguing sign. We talked about Derwin James, but at corner, the guy that's really impressive is Marquez White. You know, he's just under 6 foot. He's a little bit, you know, kind of skinny at 175 pounds, but a really impressive player in terms of his quickness in and out of breaks. I think he's really good in off coverage, has the ability to hip pocket with receivers and man downfield. He only allowed 2 catches of 10-plus yards last year. In terms of being a shutdown corner, that's what you want. He limited big plays, didn't give up a touchdown, was targeted 42 times a year ago, and really was just a shutdown corner. So his ability to hold down one side of the field against Lamar Jackson will be big. for the Seminoles this next week. Now, if you flip sides of the ball, Florida State's offense, obviously you got Dalvin Cook, who's electric, and we haven't seen him really have that moment yet this year where you're like, wow, that's Dalvin Cook in a nutshell. But it's coming, because he's that kind of talent. 5'11", 206 pounds, really explosive, really shifty, can make people miss, protects the football pretty well, reminds me of Chris Johnson in a lot of ways. And he'll be going up against a guy who was a big-time recruit at Georgia. He started his career with the Bulldogs in the SEC, had some issues there off the field, ended up in Louisville with their defensive coordinator, Todd Graham, who was there with him at Georgia. Clemens is another guy, Ross, we talked about McMillan, Cam Robinson, big name, 6'4", 225, he's got great size. I don't see how he projects well to the NFL as a safety. You know, to me, he looks more like a linebacker, and his ability to defend the run will be big this week against Dalvin Cook in this Florida State front. And then up front for Florida State, Roderick Johnson's the left tackle, big name again, going up against Devontae Fields. And if you're a college football fan, you may remember the name Devontae Fields from, three, 4 years ago. He was a true freshman at TCU. He was defensive freshman of the year. He was a freshman All-American. Had some off-the-field issues, ended up in Louisville, and now he's a starter there. Started all 13 games a year ago, plays both sides in left end, right end. Really good closing speed from the back end. I like his raw tools, but he needs to get better from the small things of being an edge rusher, you know, using his hands, you know, knowing how to counter. I want to see him get a little bit better defending the run as well. That was an issue in terms of setting the edge. So this would be a good matchup for him. Roderick Johnson, Devontae Fields, a good game within the game to watch when the Seminoles take on the Cardinals.
Any other matchups around the country, maybe not as big of games, but still pretty good one-on-one matchups that you'll be checking out?
Ross, I know you agree. One game I easily could have put into the three matchups to watch is Michigan State-Notre Dame. You know, and Quentin Nelson is a guy that you called in the spring a rare human being, and he's going to be matched up against a guy who I would also call a rare human being in nose tackle Malik McDowell. From the Michigan State Spartans. And McDowell is a guy who really impressed me. He's a true junior. He's been playing now for 3 years for the Spartans. 6'6", 280 pounds. Doesn't have the size you'd expect from a 3-4 nose tackle, but a guy that has played there for Harlan Bennett in that 4-3 scheme inside as a one technique. He'll slide over the nose over the center at sometimes in sub package. He'll slide out to three. Really versatile. Established as a two-gapper. Uses his hands really well. Good burst and can get upfield, a good athlete for the position, really fun player with a high ceiling. So this is a really big test for Nelson inside, who, again, you talked about really highly, 6'5", 325 pounds, powerful kid, tough at the point of attack. I'll be really interested to watch that matchup when I rewatch that game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Any others?
Yeah, the one of my favorite players in this draft is Corey Davis from Western Michigan. He's my favorite receiver in this class right now at 6'3", 212 pounds. They're not going to be playing great competition week in, week out, so everybody automatically is going to say, all right, what did he do against Power 5 schools? Well, he's playing Illinois this week, and who's the head coach of Illinois? Lovie Smith, who knows a little bit about secondary play. And so I'm really interested to see how Corey Davis does against an Illinois defense that I actually know the defensive backs coach there. How they're going to do against, or how he, you know, what they're going to do to try and stop Corey Davis. And then in turn, how is Corey Davis going to react? Because I would imagine that Lovie Smith and that defensive staff has some tricks up their sleeve and how they're going to try and lock Davis down. So that'll be something that'll be very interesting to watch when I go back and watch that game. So if you get to watch that, keep an eye on Davis, number 84 for the Western Michigan Broncos out of Kalamazoo. And then lastly, the other game you want to watch, Michigan-Colorado. Really interesting at matchup on the perimeter. You've got Jehu Chesson, the senior wideout for Michigan, who's really, really intriguing, Ross. You know, 6'3", 207 pounds, you know, rumored to be in the mid-4.4s in terms of his speed, and a really interesting player because of his competitiveness at the catch point. He's got the ability to attack vertical, and he was that key vertical threat for Michigan last year. So watching Chesson, Amara Darboth is another senior receiver on the other side. He's a little bit of the different kind of receiver than Chesson, a little bit more undersized, but more crafty in terms of his ability to run routes, more reliable at the catch point in terms of his hands. And I'm interested to see how the Colorado corner, Chidobe Awuzie, responds. And I watched Awuzie actually a couple weeks ago. They played Colorado State earlier this season. and he intrigued me. You know, 5'11", 195 pounds. I thought he had good instincts. He's got the versatility to play inside and outside. Instinctive, tough, competitive kid. Can probably line up at a few different spots in an NFL secondary. I don't know that he's going to be a starting corner at the next level, but he's one of those high floor players that I think will definitely stick at least as a backup. So you've got a legitimate option on the other end for Michigan to be going up against. And I'll be interested to see how Chesson and Dar both respond against Awuzie this week.
I love it. Plenty of matchups to watch. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, Louisville, Florida State, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and then some of the specific matchups and some of the games that aren't getting as much attention. Make sure you check out Fran's column at PhiladelphiaEagles.com over the weekend. Quite frankly, your best bet is to follow him on Twitter at FDuffy3. So he posts it and you get to read it right away. That's a must read every week if you're into the draft and if you're into college football. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. We love the retweets. For those of you that like the podcast and can spread the word to your buddies, Fran is obviously also all over Tuckheads.com. And I know the Tuckheads that are already Tuckheads are enjoying the interaction with him. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chuck.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
The Pro Football 2016 season is underway. And Podcast One Sportsnet's got you covered 24-7. Thanks to Dan Patrick, Rich Eisen, The Stinkin' Truth with three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth, Ross Tucker's Football Podcast. Don't miss a single snap all season long. Head to PodcastOne.com now. That's PodcastOne.com.